Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm just going to share something with you that's got nothing to do with what I want to talk about. I'm glad someone laughed. Now, if you've got a Bible, let's just quickly go to John chapter 4. And for us to go where we want to go today in Christ, I want to speak a verse out over us. In John chapter 4, Jesus finds himself at a place that Joseph inherited a well. And Joseph's name means Jehovah has added, or God has added. But the woman who came to the well that morning didn't know what was going to be added to her life. So she comes into the well to get some water naturally to fill her physically. And she meets a man who not only tells her the insight out of her life, but offers her an invitation to living water where she will never have to thirst again. But in verse 28 is a really, really key thing for us this morning here. It says this: so the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, "Come to see a man who told me all that I ever did." Can this be the Christ? And what I want to say to us this morning is Jesus is asking us to leave the water canisters behind and pick up the living water of Christ. He's saying to us, it's time to leave that thing that used to fill you up alone and now ask him for the living water. He's asking us to leave alone the things that almost filled us or gave us a little bit of fulfillment or maybe gave us a good feeling and exchange those for the living water of Jesus Christ. That it says, him himself, that if you drink of this water, you will never ever thirst again. Imagine going for a run for 50 kilometers and not having to drink anything because you were filled with living water. That's the feeling. It's an unlimited realm. It's a limitless realm. It's when you're on the work site and you're digging a huge hole, or you're in the office and that person's really irritating you, or whatever you're doing, and instead of anything happening, you just soak yourself in the living water of Jesus Christ. And you leave the other jars alone. So I want to encourage you as we start today to leave those water containers that she left where they need to be left. And pick up, ask the Holy Spirit, even now ask him for the living water that he has for us this morning. And so we thank you, Holy Spirit. And we honor you for living water. And Jesus goes on further and says this incredible statement. He said, listen, not only am I going to give you living water, what's going to come out of you is living water, bubbling up unto eternity. So what comes out of you when you're in Christ? Eternal things. They come out of you, not because you are a fantastic Christian or you haven't sinned for 3 minutes, but because Jesus Christ wants to get out of you to the world. Amen? All right. We thank him. We thank him. We're going to have some fun this morning. How good is the Lord? How immature are we in Christ? Yeah. Anyone except for me? Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. But are we becoming more mature every day? Yes. Let's not try and think too high of ourselves. Christ is King, amen. Yeah. He is King. All right, if you want to go to Psalm 131, we're just going to start here. We're going to go on a retreat today. This will be probably the first thing that's put up on our podcast. That's why we're recording a bit differently today, straight into the mixer. And so we've got a bit better quality. We're looking at sacred invitation. The Lord is giving you this morning a sacred invitation into him. And I'm going to go through what is simple theology and what is kingdom living in what it means to have spiritual formation happening in your life. What does it look like to become mature in Christ? When we look at the Ephesians 4 leadership model that we are establishing in our midst, and the Lord is doing that, we look to that because it actually gives us the one thing that we want more than anything else, and that's to become mature in who Jesus Christ is. It says, I've given some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds and teachers, for the building up of the body of Christ up until maturity. Who wants to be mature? Amen. Anyone ever been to the gym in here? Be honest with me. Amen. Who gave up after 1 week? Hallelujah. Thank you. There's some Christians in the house. Right? But when you go to the gym, you don't... I love going to the gym now because I've learned so much about how to do stuff. When I was 17, I didn't go to the gym. 18, I didn't go to the gym. But when I got to 19, gym. But I'll go in there, I'm going to lift as heavy as I can. I did that the first time, couldn't go back for 3 weeks. I actually ran a gym once. Not ran a gym like, you know what you do when you're like run a business. And so running a gym, this guy, and then he goes, put the weights on. I'm like, you're nice. So he put the weights on. Anyway, he forgot to put the weights on one side of his bench press. He's big, you know, little like singlet. I think he bought one of the kids' singlets from Kmart. Put it on his body. Anyway, he lifted it and ripped his pec straight off. If you rip your pec off, that's about an 8 month. Like you've got to have surgery, 8 month recovery. He's screaming. What the Lord has spoken about lately is that sometimes we do that. We want to do something spiritually so strong, yeah, but we don't realize we've got to become mature enough to not realize there's weights on the other side. And when you go into the gym, you don't try and get a 10% increase, you try and get a 1% increase. Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. I go to the gym, I went to Springwood Gym the other day, I got a free pass. Went to Springwood Gym about 4 or 5 weeks ago. I go to the gym, there's these young guys in there, they walk like this. They said, hey Osborne. I said, hey guys. And they're doing their bench press. And I said, you can do 120 kilograms. He goes, I've only done 80. I said, watch this. And I got him on there, and he didn't know how much he could actually do because no one had actually helped him understand how much he could do. And as a body in Christ, we need to be encouraging each other and teaching each other about how we can be built up in Christ. Awesome. It's not just from the front, it's from the body. It's for the maturing. Every single person in this room is not more valuable than somebody else. We are all the same in Christ's eyes. So we should all have the same view of each other in our own eyes. And this guy is lifting this up. And I said, can you do a warm-up set? I said, I'll do a warm-up set. Thinking to myself, I haven't done weights for a long time. It's going to be good. Get on the bench, get on the bench. I love bench pressing. How good is bench? Who does bench pressing in here? Oh, great. Well, I just encourage you to do reverse bench pressing. Well, that's even better for your wrists. Dan Hurley and Adam Wilkes are having a heart attack right now. Thinking about men and women doing reverse grip bench press. But sometimes you've got to do something a bit unorthodox. So you look at a bench press, right? The bar comes down to your chest, you push it up. There's an eccentric and a concentric phase. You have an antagonist agonist muscle. If you don't know what it is, don't worry about that. Okay? But the best way to build your bench press is to reverse your grip. Okay? So if I'm talking right, tell me if I'm talking right, that my rhomboid then would be engaged more in the reverse movement than it would in the front movement. Is that correct, physios and chiros?
Amen.
And so, you do a reverse bench press, people think that you are going crazy. I went to he said to me, one young guy goes, I just want to tell you before you do, your hands are around the wrong way. And I said, are they? And I lifted it off. He goes, oh, I said, it's all right. And you just lift it up, right? Because I've done it before. But sometimes in our spiritual life, we need to understand some unorthodox things and do things a different way than we've always done them to enter into what God has for us. If we're doing things the same all the time, we get into a thing called familiarity, and that actually contains our spiritual life. It doesn't let it expand. And so we want to expand our spiritual life. The psalmist said it best. He said to David, David prophesied this, Lord, enlarge the tent of my heart. He didn't say, Lord, enlarge my tent so I can have more stuff. He said, enlarge the capacity for me to look on the inside of who I am and see the universe within me. It says this, Jesus Christ is in you. If Jesus Christ is in you, that's not a small thing. Have you thought about that? Jesus made everything. And nothing was made that has been made except for through Christ. Correct?
Yeah.
So Jesus lives in you. So then on the inside of you is a world you haven't discovered fully yet, correct?
Yes.
What an invitation.
Yes. Wow.
What an invitation that we would look so much bigger on the inside than the outside. that our inner life would be the greatest expression of our Christianity, not our outer life and our lip service to each other and the church. Amen? So that's where we're going today. Whoa, watch out for the lectern. And I want to start by bringing you to a psalm. And this psalm is a psalm of ascents. And if you don't know what that is, ask Adam Wilkes, because I don't actually know what that is. Okay, but I'm sure he can tell us later. But it says this, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great or too marvelous for me. Uh-oh. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Now, if you know what like a weaned child, have you ever seen a mother, she breastfeeds a baby and then the baby's eyes, they just roll back in its head. They call it milk drunk. See this? Yeah, that's it. And so it's like, oh, that's the peace that Christ has for you. That you would feel like that. Oh, yes, Lord. And I pray if you haven't experienced that, that you would have an overwhelming experience of being like a weaned child on the mum. That's good. Brings a whole new dimension to people breastfeeding their kids at recess in kindergarten. Amen? If you're into that, bless you. If you're not, bless you. Amen. Have you seen that? Oh, what's that? I don't know. Oh, because it's a little bit later on, yeah?
Yeah, they really only get milk drunk when
they're young. See? Correction from my wife. They only get milk drunk when they're young, is that right? Wow. Amen. That's good. All right. So let's get into this, guys. Amen. So what I want to do today, I want to help us navigate the inner world. What is it about spiritual formation that we have lost in the church? And what is it that we need to put back into our lives so we can become way more mature in Christ? You see, most of us came into an expression of Christianity. If you are an Anglican in this room, we bless you. If you're a Presbyterian, if you're Pentecostal, if you are Pentecostal Brethren Anglican Baptist, we bless you. Whatever flavor you came into Christianity with, there was a set of paradigms that you learnt. And those paradigms, I need to break the truth to you today, aren't the fullness of who He is. But they are beautiful in the pure form that they are. But what we need to do is we need to actually look around the body of Christ and we need to discover the beauty in each movement. You know, right now on the earth, there's over 40,000 different Christian denominations. 40,000. Most of them have happened from offense. Not offense, like a build offense, which lots of people do, but someone gets offended at someone's teaching or theology, they say, oh, I don't believe that anymore. I'm going to make my own denomination. I'm going to be the Assemblies of God and the Latter-day Saints joined together. I love when people ask me what type of Christian I am. I normally answer this, are Jesus Christ the Latter-day Saints? They say, start getting upset, right? But I'm a Latter-day Saint, so are you. You should believe it. If Dom brought this word a few weeks ago about Haggai 2, that the latter rain and the latter house is going to be greater than the former house, that means we're a Latter-day Saint. That'll get you in trouble, won't it? Amen. Say whatever you want. That's what I don't mind. Say whatever you want. But the key is this. We all have different things from what we've learnt up in our Christianity, and sometimes the greatest gift we can be given is to unlearn something. And as you unlearn something, it's an opportunity to learn something in Christ. And so we do not say to anyone that we are a certain denomination. The Baptist Church helps us, but we don't look like a Baptist church. We don't act like one, a traditional one. We are what they call a Holy Spirit expression of their movement. And we believe wholeheartedly that everyone in this room, regardless of where you come from in Christianity, is valuable and has things to add. Think about this, right? It said Joseph had a coat of how many colours? Many or one? Many colours. So if we're going to be the expression of Joseph's coat, which is actually a garment of praise in today's society, then we're going to have to learn different things from different people and actually accept them for who Christ is. Amen? Amen? You ever been to a Christian conference and you know exactly where one church finishes and starts where they sit? Like, there they are. There's the next group. Because what we do is, in love, we act like each other. The problem I have here is that we don't act like each other, we act like Jesus. And so we might have Catholics in the room who we love in Christ because they're beautiful people. We might have them sitting next to a Presbyterian or a Pentecostal charismatic Baptist next to that person. And all those three people are super valuable to Christ and should be super valuable to us.
Amen.
Amen? All right. We can get going. How good is the Lord? So I want to ask you a question, and it's a loaded question. How is your silent time? I'm not talking about putting your earbuds in with this podcast. I'm talking about how is your silent time and your quiet time with Jesus? Where there's nothing around you, there's no messages, there's no distraction. There's just you and silence and Christ. I don't want you to answer now, but I want you to take that into prayer with you about what's your silent time like. You might get 5 minutes. Well, you might get 5 hours, but I want to encourage you that one of the greatest things we can do to be spiritually formed into maturity is to have silent time. And you know what's funny? You get silent time, you're like, oh, what can I do? Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll vacuum the house. Oh, it's so quiet. I've just got to clean that drawer out. I've never cleaned out for years. And we distract ourselves from the longings of his heart because we haven't been taught well enough about how to actually receive those longings in silence. And so let's go on a journey, and let's not put a time limit on this. Let's not go, in 5 weeks' time, we're all going to be spiritually formed. But let's say what we want to add to the body in this movement is that spiritual formation is not only important, but it's vital to our kingdom living.
Amen.
Remember that we're not a church, we are a kingdom family. Big difference. The word ecclesia, or the word church that was given to Christians, was not given to them by God, it was given to them by the world. The Romans declared they were an ecclesia, a group gathering around a certain set of values. But if I go to the Rotary Club, bless them, they're awesome people, I can use the same word for churches I can use for them, ecclesia. Ecclesia. But koinonia, a kingdom family, starts to be deeper than just an expression of rules and regulations and beliefs. We start to intertwine our lives. And you know what happens? This incredible quilt starts to be built of patchworks of different colors, different patterns, and it's joined together by the threads of Jesus Christ. Who wants to be joined with someone who's peculiar and irregular? Who wants to be joined with someone who looks like they're pretty normal? We all do, don't we? We want to have expressions in the body that aren't just one way. Look at this dance this morning. Can you believe that? Oh my goodness. All those young women being built up by two young women who I could say in their past weren't built up like that, and they have chosen to be brave, and I'm talking specifically about Christy and Mel, they've chosen to be brave and stand upon the rock that never moves or is immovable, and then a generation of young women are going to be taught to be brave because they've decided to go over the hill to kingdom life, not just church. Amen?
I thought that was pretty good. Thank you, Lord.
I want you to think about the picture of a fully furnished house and a beautiful yard versus an empty house with no backyard. Just think about that as we go today. A fully furnished house with a beautiful yard versus an empty house with no yard. All right. I'm not going to tell you why. Just yet. So what if we became so mature in Christ that we saw the renewal of the garden in our midst? What I mean by that, you're saying, I mean the restoration of the Garden of Eden. If we look at this right, Adam died in a garden and was cast out. He died. He was separated from the Lord. Jesus dies and is buried in a garden and is resurrected. We have new life. In worship, Melody came to me and said, Dad, I've got a vision. I said, what is it? She said, I see a brand new mandarin tree with the most perfect mandarin I've ever seen. She says to say to the people, the Lord is releasing new life.
Yes.
So if you want to receive new life, receive it now. And also a mandarin is actually, if I want to go into the science of a mandarin, is that it actually is given to us during the cold months to sustain our immune system because of its high rate of vitamin C.
Yeah.
So you could really say that what she saw this morning, if we translate it in Christ, is that the Lord's releasing new life to give you something in your spiritual immunity that will keep you well as you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's good. That's from a kid.
Awesome.
Amen.
Thank you,
Jesus. All right. What if we became so mature in Christ that the renewal of the garden happened in our midst? That we weren't waiting for the end of the meeting for someone to be healed. We weren't waiting for the start of the meeting for someone to sing. But what we realize is no matter if we're in here on a Sunday or where we go on a Monday, that the kingdom that is within us needs to be the kingdom that comes out of us. We don't get influenced by the kingdom that is when we go somewhere, the kingdom of the darkness. We bring his kingdom in to the place of authority, not because you are some super spiro and like, that's good if you want to do that, but just because of who you are and who he is. It's so good. He is so good to us. Amen. We're going to have some fun. The kingdom that is within you becoming the kingdom that is out and all around you. Okay, has anyone in here ever had champagne?
Yeah, good Christians.
Right? If, Jace, if I watch the V8 supercars and a guy wins, does he like all this? Oh, thank you for that big bottle of champagne. Come on. Amen. He celebrates with it, right? You cannot. It says this, that when the Holy Spirit comes in you, he's got to come back through you. Can you, could one of those guys, could he get the cork and put it back in that bottle once it's shaken? No chance. That's the picture of a Christian born again living in the kingdom.
Amen.
Is someone flowing out with the Spirit of God so much they can't contain it?
Yep.
You can't I've never seen a guy in a NASCAR or V8 supercar shake it and go, oh no, and pop it back in. He's getting messy. He's drenching people with it. That's the Spirit of God. You can't contain the Spirit of God. And how dare different denominations say you can contain the Spirit of God? You can't contain the Holy Ghost. It's impossible. But what about if you believe that and you're in the supermarket and you're just walking around? I went to Coles the other day. How good is Coles? At Wimberley. I love that place. You know, as a dad, they rearrange the shelves every few months. That's like, it's almost stepping through the gate of hell. The peanut butter was over there. Now you've put it down there. I wanted to be here for 20 minutes, 2 hours later, because I'm lost in the supermarket, right? I wasn't thinking to the Holy Spirit the other day, listen, I'd really like to be filled with you on Wednesday. All I wanted to get was some of that Betty Crocker topping. Not for myself, for a cake that we made for the men, right? But I love that. Who loves Betty Crocker's? You know, you just sneak a little thing like.
Cranberry.
Oh. Yeah, that's amen, right? Because no one in here hates icing on cakes, do they? You do? Oh, sorry. We'll get you some gelato, right? But what we do is this, right? So we go. I get out of the car. I just park the car. It wasn't anything super spiritual. I get out of the car. All of a sudden, something goes. Phew, I feel this feeling. And I actually staggered against the wall. They would have thought, this guy's come out of Boomerang Tavern. And he's lost because he's going into Coles. And so I'm stumbling into the shopping centre, thinking to myself, okay, I can either be embarrassed or I can just embrace this. The first lady I saw, I just looked at her, I smiled. Anyway, she just starts laughing. The next one, it was like spontaneous laughing just started happening. And one lady goes, and I was like, just kept laughing, just kept smiling. I wasn't laughing, I was smiling. Went to the checkout. This girl's like, hello, how you going? She's like, good. And she's like, I said, it's all right. I'm under the influence. You'll be fine. Right? And then the lady behind her looking at me, and she says, and then she goes, She caught it as well. Then I got in the car and I got to soccer training to pick up Melody, and they're catching it. Thought to myself, this is unusual, but I'll have it. Because what I want is not to be people to see me as a certain thing, but I want this, the kingdom within me. You want this, the kingdom within you, to be the king that comes out of you. And it's not rules and regulations. Oh, I've been a Christian for 17 years. I've got more of the kingdom than you. Actually, it doesn't work like that. He says this. He rewards those who diligently seek him.
Yes, Jesus.
Diligently seek him, amen?
Yeah.
All right, praise God. Can we go to Colossians 1, verse 27, please? Colossians 1, verse 27. And we're going to have some fun in Colossians. Colossians 1, is that in the New Testament somewhere? Yep, here it is. Amen. It says this, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. This is the ministry of every single saint. That you have the spiritual energy of Jesus Christ living in you. Doesn't mean you're going to run a physical marathon. It means that you are spiritually energized by Christ. And it says this, to them God chose to make known how great among the riches of his glory of this mystery. What is the mystery of the kingdom? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That word mystery is not how we say mystery in the world. It's not like Dr. Morse. Anyone used to watch Dr. Morse?
Yeah.
I'm too old for you guys. Anyone watch Stranger Things? Yeah, thank you. I mean, yeah, awesome. Yeah, we'll catch up after, we'll talk about the show. Yeah, good, right? But in that show, or in those shows, a mystery is something that remains unsolved, correct? And so they have to build facts, they've got to build a case, they've got to get all this stuff done. That's not what the word mystery means in the New Testament. When Paul the Apostle is using the word mystery, he means this, hidden from the common gaze. What spiritual formation does for you, it allows you to go on the very inside of who he is and see the things that are hidden from the common gaze. When we come into Christ, amen? And one of the greatest things that's happened is that we have been contending this year and to do for maturity in Christ, but a lot of that has led us back to a Jude 3 moment. Jude 1:3, which says this, that we actually, the people of God, would be found contending for the faith that was first released to the saints. All right? That's where he's taking us, amen? And Matthew 13:44 is an incredible story. It says this, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who found a piece of treasure in a field and hid it, and then in his joy went and sold everything to buy the field. Let's never ever be found just taking a little bit of his kingdom. He gave all of it for us. And see, we have access to all of his kingdom, not a little bit. And so when you find Christ, don't you just give everything up? I tell you what, if you have one encounter with Jesus, he will transform and change your life. Look at the man in the Gadarenes. He had, most conservative theologians believe, 5,000 demons living in him. 5,000, that's a lot of devils. I was delivered of demons and I had a few of them. It wasn't 5,000. I know how much torture that cost me in my life. On the banks in the Pen River, I was delivered of demons. How good is that? Praise God. And this man has demons. Anyway, he meets Jesus. It says he's naked. He's cutting himself with rocks. And he's howling like a dog. In a cemetery. You talk about a good movie. Right? This has got nothing on Paranormal Activity, right? Anyway, Jesus comes across. And he delivers this man in one moment. It says he's in his right mind. He had clothes on. Where'd they come from? Because when you meet Christ, You become fully clothed.
Yeah.
There's nothing in you, you're fully clothed, right? And then he says to Jesus, I want to come with you, with your disciples. Jesus has got 12 disciples, including Judas Iscariot at this time. And Jesus says, no, you're going to be an apostle to 10 cities. No, I'm not. I'm not going to be in charge of 10 cities because I've just been delivered from 5,000 demons. No, you are. And he was. And this man, we know, went into the region of Decapolis and was an apostle who founded churches and moved the kingdom of God into the earth after one encounter with Jesus Christ. How good is it? How good is treasure? When you find the treasure, when you find the treasure hidden in the field and you sell everything, you give up your whole life. Jesus put it really simple. He said this, if you want to live life, lose it. Whoa. That cuts our culture, amen? It cuts our culture. You see, the visibility of the true kingdom is deeply dependent upon your invisible life. When you are not in front of everybody, what's you and the Lord doing? When you're not in front of anyone and you're making decisions about everything in your life, what's happening? Those decisions in those quiet times, in those secret times, they impact hugely how much his kingdom is visible through you. How can I say that? Jesus retreated often to a solitary place and prayed. He didn't take his phone and was checking his Facebook every 7 minutes. He wasn't giving his Twitter update about his presidential campaign. What he was doing was realizing that the time he spent in quiet was the greatest exposure he could have. You know, he never looked for the limelight. Go and find the scripture. He never once looked for the limelight. But signs and wonders and extreme things followed him because he had been with his Father. We don't need to really. Our lives in the hidden place, in the secret place, is what expands us when we come into the area, the arena of reality, I should say, and see things happen for his kingdom. Amen. We want to see the Holy Spirit take us into such a time of spiritual formation that we don't look anything like we look like now in a year's time. Amen?
Amen.
Spiritual formation. You know, the beauty of being formed in Christ, and I'm going to talk about this in a moment, is that spiritual formation is not an elementary set of valuables or principles that you apply to yourself when you become a Christian. Spiritual formation is what nourishes your soul. It nourishes your soul. Oh, who wants to eat something? Who's hungry right now? Yeah, Jeremy, thank you for your honesty. God bless you. Obedience is a divine kingdom meal. If you eat obedience in Christ and nothing else, sustenance will endure. This is what I believe Jesus was talking about when he said to the disciples in John chapter 4, I've got food that you guys have got no idea about. They come back. He sent them away to get food. They bring back food for their master. It was actually illegal for Jesus to not receive the food from his disciples. He broke the law because he had tasted food in his Father's presence that was way more sustained than anything physically could come into his body. How good is that? Obedience is a divine kingdom meal. If you eat it in Christ, sustenance endures forever. I never heard these things before. I'm just praying and typing. I never heard these things before in my life. But I find it in the scripture and I'm like, yes and amen. Because guess what we can do? We can put our obedience in things other than Christ. And that food doesn't endure.
Yeah.
It doesn't endure. There's a couple of young people in this, I won't go too far into this, but when I was walking the streets at 12 years old, with a pound of green stuff with me, on my own back, finding people that were triple my age and exchanging things for things, I was being obedient at that time to my vision for my life, which was to get what I didn't have. Right? When I met Jesus, My obedience flipped in a moment from being obedient to what the world wants me to be to obedient to who Christ is in his kingdom. And so now I walk in authority over those things, not because of what I did, but because of who he is. We have to remember, and I've repented of this much, right? It's not my testimony about me doing this and that.
Yeah.
Me doing this and that in my life and hoo ha ha, right? Me being at a party and having a shotgun behind me, pressed to my back, and my friend helping me out of a situation, right? I don't rah about that stuff at all, because all those things are dead in Christ. I've actually, and you've actually, as a Christian, you've died to your old self. So you can become obedient to a meal that fulfills you forever. He said to her, "Here's some living water. If you take this, you'll never be thirsty again." Isn't it good that Christ did that for us? Are you excited by that? Okay, so I said before, spiritual formation is not an elementary set of ideals for new followers of Jesus. It's just not. We can get caught up in that, but it's not. It's a lifelong pursuit of spiritual disciplines. There's that naughty word that nourishes the soul. Discipline in Christ is not something that could happen to you. It's something that is necessary for you so you can grow in maturity. Amen?
Yeah.
If I gave all of you right now, if I gave you fairy floss to every single person, you may be happy, but I'm not making you healthy. Correct?
Yeah.
Yes? All right? But if I gave you something that was nourishing and lasted longer than fairy floss, then I'd be helping you become healthy. I can't make you healthy, by the way.
You can give it a go and just give us fairy floss and see if
it works. Amen. That's good. We'll get that organized in that spare time, for sure. But I want to pray for you today. I'm going to pray at the end. I lay hands on people because your soul needs to be nourished. The Lord told me that he's killing busyness today.
Yeah.
It's kind of God.
Bless you, Jesus.
And the problem we have, and this is for me as well, is that there are things in our lives that are causing busyness outside of who he is.
Yes.
And the fear is, if we actually let go of that thing, I'm not going to be able to survive. But the Lord Jesus Christ came and he said this: if you give that to me, you're not going to survive, you're going to thrive.
Yes.
And we're supposed to be people that thrive, not just survive.
Yeah.
You can take it and leave it. That's what we're going for today. Amen. Amen. I'm excited the Lord is going to deliver us today of rushing. Oh. My kids obviously said I was rushing. But you all laughed. You know what? I'm going to drive with Emma Bennett. I mean, Emma, the speedsters. Amen, Emma, that's it. Amen. Right? Amen, the speedsters. And no, I don't go through the red lights all the time, just sometimes. But all you holy people never do that, so that's all right. Oh, it was orange, I think it was orange. It was so red. Oh, it's dark. Anyway, amen. 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 Spiritual formation actually allows us to enter into a land of abundance and hope. When you give up your busyness and when you give up the things that are competing with the stillness of the inner life, you start to enter into the abundance of Christ. You start to enter into a hope that cannot be shaken. You can wake up in the worst condition physically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally, but if you have that hope and abundance, it can be a great day. Be a great day, amen. It can be a great day. I want us today to think about, let's go on a self-discovery mission to live below the surface, to take away our shallowness, to allow the Lord Jesus to teach us in the quiet how deep he is. How deep he is.
Yeah.
Oh, how deep is it? Oh, I'll say this to you. How deep was Peter when he walked down the road and as his shadow fell on someone, they were healed? How deep was the woman who was caught in the act of adultery after she encountered Jesus Christ? They pulled her from that village that morning to kill her in the square, And she came out of that place with a debt she didn't know she had. Right? He can redeem every situation. He wants to redeem every situation. And it's up to you as well to partner with him to see other people redeemed from every situation. Amen? He wants us to live below the surface. Away from the shallowness. Amen?
You see, a great returning is happening. It is.
It's so good. A great returning to faith that is so simple, it's so amazing. You know, I love Jesus, right? He set himself up so we could live like him on earth. 2,000 years ago, he did this. He didn't have a marketing campaign. He didn't have anything. He didn't have any of this stuff. What he had was an unlimited access to his Father's voice.
Yes, hallelujah.
And the unlimited access to the Father's voice meant this, that whatever he was doing, how little or big it was for his Father's kingdom. Mm. Amen? Mm. Because Jesus learned one thing. It's easy to surrender when you're in love. Yeah? Dan taught our men on Wednesday night that the greatest thing that can happen is when you surrender fully to the Lord, you can love her how you're supposed to. But without a man surrendering to Christ, there's no way he can love his wife right. There's no way he can love his friends right. And there's no way he can love his kids right. Let alone the people who aren't in the community like enemies. Right? And I want to encourage you to think about living below the surface. Living below that place. And it's an invitation.
It really is an invitation.
Sometimes, and I'll say this of myself in the past, sometimes what we want huge growth. Personally, we're like, I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to be able to set up this, this and this, and it doesn't happen and we get upset at the Lord and ourselves. Not realizing the Lord wants us to see the millimeters, not the kilometers. It's good to have vision and have scope, but Jesus is more concerned with your heart. On a daily basis, sometimes on an hourly basis, amen?
Yeah.
And so I want to encourage us, let's be people of vision, but let's be people that actually have the ability to see in the millimeters of our growth.
Yes.
The small areas of growth that He, Jesus Christ, is really excited about. Excited about. What happens if none of that stuff happened that you're thinking about, but all that happened was small, consistent, sustainable growth all the time. All the time. I don't want us to be a people who look for one big crescendo event in faith. But what would happen if we looked for little things all the time? Tiny, small improvements. Where you fail 10 times, but you don't fail. And you fail 9 times. And you fail 8 times. And eventually the thing that you're failing, it doesn't become a thing anymore because you're actually consistent in Him. Spiritual formation will do this for you. Quieting your inner life will do this for you. And it takes us to a place that we're nervous about. And that place is our heart, which is uncharted territory. I want to encourage all of us to have such a beautiful time with Jesus in the uncharted territory. If Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Like, and if you believe those scriptures, it says that He lives in you. Does anyone believe that?
Yeah.
He made the whole cosmos.
Yeah, wow.
He made the whole cosmos. And He's in you. How much discovery is there for you in Him?
Yeah.
How much discovery is there for you in Him? I've got about 80 of these slides, I'm done. No, it's only about 30, it's okay. So what does it do? Spiritual formation, as we go deep in Christ, as we quiet our inner life, so there's no noise and there's no static, we actually start to see our humanity in His divinity. What does that mean? We start to see ourselves exactly how He sees us. You know, in the book of Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament, it says this, Malachi prophesies that the people of God would see themselves like refined silver.
That word refined silver is poorly translated in English, like most Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek is. The word refined silver means this, that when Emma Bennett looks at Christ, he sees himself. It's a mirror. When Adam Wilkes looks at Jesus, Jesus looks back at Adam and sees himself in Adam. No good is that. I'll just say it again in case you didn't get that. When God looks at you, he sees himself in you. How can I prove it? You are made in the likeness and the image of God. Amen? That then takes us to actually embrace his divinity in our humanity. How can we do all this stuff in God? How can I fit God in me? Well, Ephesians 3 says this beautiful thing, that Nick Bennett has the fullness of God dwelling in him. Uh-oh. The fullness of God dwelling in him. Does that mean that he walks around saying, I am God? No, it means that he walks around killing the mindset that comes against his brain, saying that he's unworthy, saying that he's lost and abandoned, and saying he's got limits on himself. No, he doesn't. Christ in him, the hope of glory. He lives full time in the unlimited realm where all things are possible in Christ. That's who Jesus is to us. Do we believe that, amen? Oh. And spiritual formation will help us. It will help us remove the casualness from our relationship with God. God's not our butler. And God is not our get out of jail free card. God is holy and to be worshipped. And this morning in prayer, and I'm going to pray for us now, the Lord said to me, will you pray for the people to give back to him all the credit we've taken from him? In Revelation it says this, all glory, all honor, all worship, all power are his for now and forevermore.
Yes.
I believe what's happened in the church, we've become so, I don't know, world-like, not just us everywhere, that we actually, you know what, when you get a good idea, it's God's. I believe that all these people in the world who don't know Jesus have got an invention, they're not giving credit to him.
Yeah.
There's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
But what we can do as a shadow of who he is to say, you know what? This gift that I've got for music is yours. You know, Misty Edwards, I love Misty Edwards. She's a worship leader for those people. Who don't know her? In the House of Prayer. She started in the House of Prayer when it first started. In 1999, in a 20-foot trailer. Just worshipping the Lord day and night, right? She sold over $14 million US in album sales, and none has gone to herself. She's sown everything back into the House of Prayer. Now, obviously, she gets blessed by the House of Prayer. I don't know if it comes from that, but she decided in her heart that none of what she was going to get was going to be given to her to do what she wanted with. It was going to be given to His kingdom. Amen. And what I want us to do in our quiet time is take this prayer. Lord, whatever credit I've taken, I give back to you and I repent. Because I know that all the glory, all the worship, all the praise, all the honor and all the power is yours for now and forever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Take it into your quiet life. This will all be available for you this afternoon. If you get messed up over the next few weeks. So, my question again to you is, how is your silent time? And how is your quiet time with the Lord? Oh, but I do that when I'm swimming. Oh, but I do that when I'm playing guitar. Those things are beautiful. You can worship God when you're swimming and when you're playing guitar. I'm talking about that uncanny, that weird thing where you actually stop doing all activity and you're just left with Him.
Bless you, Jesus.
You're just left with Him. When the schedule has been crucified to the cross.
Hallelujah.
Where the replies to those emails that you should have done 3 days ago,
yes,
are not in your thinking.
Yes.
And it takes a while to get into that place. Yes. So don't be afraid to fail in spiritual formation. Time and time again.
because he wants you to pursue it. Because he knows that under the shallowness is where you actually are supposed to live. And then you can go back with your schedules and all this type of stuff, and it doesn't even affect you anymore. You know what this does? It takes your level of cortisol down to a normal level, and stress is minimized when you magnify Christ. You might believe or not, science has proven that when you speak in the gift of tongues, that your immune system responds by destroying disease in your body. Imagine that. You go to the doctor. Doctor, what do you prescribe? A new tongue. So I'm figuring this, right? If I run while speaking in tongues, while eating a mandarin, because if I run for more than an hour, my body does this incredible transformation. Toxins come out of me, right? And if I'm speaking in tongues, my immune system, I'm thinking, I might run the ultra trail speaking in tongues game. Randarabasiri bika. Who's this? Right? Come on.
Hallelujah.
That's what we are. We're spiritual people, amen? We're spiritual people. We hanging in there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Come
it's
on.
Good. It's good.
It is good. He's good. Yeah. Spiritual formation places an emphasis on the death of control. On the death of control and the rule of rushing. When you decide, Lord, I'm putting my life on hold for you. And what I want to do is I want you to rearrange and reestablish and reaffirm in me everything you want me to be. I lay every gift in you to pick up the ones only that you have for me to use.
Yes.
When we kill control, that's a hard, I believe control is probably one of the deep, most deeply rooted demonic forces in the body of Christ. Because most of us who are operating control at different measures don't even know we're doing it. But when you get below the surface, and when you're quiet, and all the noise goes away, and it's just this weird place where it's like, I'm not doing anything, so this can't be productive. That's when control starts to die. And it kills the rule of rushing. Having to, I'm rushing to this, I'm rushing to that, I'm rushing to this. I don't want to be rushing anymore.
Yeah.
I want us to be people who are slow. A people who are slow. A people who slow down. A people who slow down with Christ. Amen. I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord. Oh, who's excited?
Yeah.
I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places. You don't get those from the fast-paced Christian life. You get those from the communion with Him. You know another word for communion? And I'll say this in a PG-rated version. The word communion, the very echo of communion or intimacy with Jesus, is the word intercourse. That's what the word is. When you think about that thing in its purest form, between a husband and a wife, with no judgment here at all for anybody, but when a husband and a wife, that's the most purest type of intimacy they can have, right? That's the same word used for you and Christ's relationship. And man, it's a bit difficult, but that's how close we are. That's how close He wants us. He wants us to be one with Him. It says this, that John, you might read the word where it says John reclined at the table. You know, John the Apostle, it says that he reclined. That word's not, it wasn't reclined. John was trying to force his way to be one with Christ. Jason, come up here. Right? Me and Jason are good friends, right? But we very rarely get this close all the time and just hang on. Right? Just, oh, yes, we can start moving and swaying. Thanks, but I don't want to bass anymore. Oh, he's still holding on. That's not even as close as how Jesus wants me to be with Him full time.
Yeah.
You know what that helps me with? That helps me with sin. That helps me with sin because I know that when I'm in that place, He's there.
Yeah.
And how can I want to do that when he's that close to me? I'll just be honest with you. How can I want to even exchange anything like that when I know that he's that close? And guess what? Even when I fall in it, he still remains that close.
Yeah.
That'll mess you up. That'll mess you up. He's that close to us. Think about that. He's that close to us. Amen. I thought I was off my tree a few years ago when the Holy Spirit said to me, the quickest way to get somewhere in the kingdom is to stop. And I told people, they said, that's wrong. You shouldn't say that. But then you find saints, like living saints and old saints, Augustine and Saint Teresa of Avila, and these old saints and these new saints, and everyone's speaking the same language. You know, it's the same spirit. Corinthians and Ephesians both say the same spirit, right? Spiritual growth is the slowest of all human movements. Why? Because we are so complex. But we've been taught in the church, really, we've been taught to rush. Get through those things and then you'll be a better Christian. Or do these things and you'll be a better Christian. But Jesus is asking us to reverse that system that is the world system. And he's asking us to slow down and retreat into him. I can tell you why. I went to New Zealand and I was preaching and the power of God is breaking out. Like, we're talking, fame is healed in the street. Deaf ears open, blind eyes open. Demons coming out of people. I got to minister to the head, or one of the heads of the female mongrel mob. Right? She got delivered and set free. That's a big demon that comes off someone who's been, if you know what that is, it's a very, how should I say this? Very organized people who do the wrong thing all the time. Right? Trying to be nice. But when I went there, I used to travel all these churches. I've been to that many denominations I can't think of. And when I got home, I went to Glenbrook Skate Park and I was on top of the world. On top of the world. And I went there and I prayed. I used to always go and pray at the skate park in Glenbrook. And I went there and the Lord said to me, retreat to my holy mountain and pray, or you are going to pass away. I said, no, that's the devil. And the Lord said, it's me. And he said to me, you have no character, you only have gifting. I'm like an awesome man of God. I'm a preacher. I've got people ringing me asking me to come to the churches. I've got signs and wonders following my ministry. What a joke. What a hypocrite. What a satanic life that was. And the Lord delivered me because he asked me to do one thing. Retreat into him and learn below the surface where giftings don't count and character is actually woven into who you are. And I'm thankful that I have been taught to hear the Spirit's voice, because if I hadn't been taught to hear the Spirit's voice, I wouldn't be here today. But I'm so thankful that he spoke to me. And I love that story because it tells this. I got spoken to in a skate park, which is outside the church walls. Don't go to the skate park. That's where all the bad kids are. That's where you should be. Amen? We okay? Thank you, Lord. So these are some thoughts that are plaguing the body of Christ. I don't mean our local body here. I mean the body of Christ. If everything could just be done quicker. Who has ever, now admit this, who has ever put microwave popcorn in the microwave and got upset that it's not popped enough yet? Anyone?
Yep.
Who's ever taken ice cream out of the freezer and got upset that it wasn't soft enough to eat yet? Yeah, amen. We're Christians here today, right? And the second thought is this. I just need to get to the next thing. For people in business, for people who are productive people, for people who are doing things, that's something that we are living in all the time. But if that's our first thing, not our second thing, there's an issue. I want to give you a couple of examples and maybe some solutions. Some suggestions. I didn't put the word answer here on purpose. The first thing, I have everything I need right now in life in Christ Jesus. I've got everything I need right now. And I just need to have more of the one thing.
So when I'm doing those task-orientated things, when I'm positioned with 40 emails to respond to in 24 hours, if I'm seeking the one thing, and I've seen this happen to myself, I've prayed this prayer for people that are really productive, and I've prayed over them, and they've been able to reproduce work so quickly, they were getting things done in hours that were taking days. Why do we limit the supernatural to a healing or a prophecy? Why not invite the supernatural into every single part of our life? If you've got a problem at work, why not seek the face of the Father? Sorry, seek the face of the Father, heart of God, and He can give you the. I know I have friends and best friends in here right now who all they do, they're in the midst of problems, and all they do is seek His face, and He gives them the divine solutions. The world goes, "Don't do that. That's the opposite of what you should do." They do it, and God shows up, and the kingdom comes. Amen. Amen. The kingdom comes. Oh, the analogy of the quilt. I was like, this morning, Audrey and I got up about 5 or 6, drove down to pick up Lois. Lois, wave your hand. 4 generations of Christians in Catholic side. Drove down to, amen. Drove down to Cronulla, and I was thinking to myself, and Audrey's in the front seat with me, she's got a blanket around her. And I'm thinking, oh, a nice cooler around her. She's nice and warm, right? And she didn't know that I was talking this today. But I want to teach you something, and I want it to be something that comes into you as a piece of fruit for you to take away and eat. And it's this. If all I do is have my quilt, but I have no insulation, it's good pretty much for nothing. It might be able to dry me if I'm wet, but it's pretty much good for nothing. Think about your favorite blanket or your favorite quilt. Right. Think about that without any of the stuffing inside, any of the insulation inside it. It's useless. But what's happened in the church is that we've been taught to have a really nice looking quilt. We've been taught to make sure everyone likes the quilt that we have. We've been taught to make sure it's this right dimension. Don't worry about the insulation, as long as it looks right. But the Lord's been speaking to me about if you go after spiritual formation, He will start to put in your quilt the down feathers, or some of that nice synthetic stuff. And no matter what comes around your life, you will be so warmed by the presence of Jesus that nothing can move you from devotion. You see, maturity in Christ and spiritual formation are used for one thing, to take you into deeper devotion with Christ. Not a devotion you can download off the internet, they're good as well, but I mean a devotion where your life is devoted to Him. That when you wake up, you've got no time. Oh, I've got to get to the work site. But on the way, you just say, "Jesus, help me today. I'm yours." And then all of a sudden, this guy on the work site goes to you, "Hey, mate, I've got depression." And you're like, "Oh, okay, can I pray for you?" And you pray for him. And you don't see a response happen, but he tells you 4 weeks later, he's not using medication anymore for depression. Like, he's been healed. Or you're in the shop, or you're wherever you are, maybe you're doing data entry. Lord, help us with data entry. Right? And you're in there and you're like, "This can't do." And then someone just sends you whatever it is. Allow the Lord to build the quilt for you. Don't be satisfied with it looking nice. Be satisfied with it keeping you warm. That's what it's built for, amen? You know, there's a movement right now. If you are Insta famous, which I'm definitely not, right? I got 3 followers, 2 of them are dogs. Right? Now, I've got a few more than that. But on Instagram right now, there's a movement of this thing called a heavy blanket. What is a heavy blanket? A heavy blanket is scientifically proven to calm you down. It's scientifically proven to give you better sleep, to give you better rest. What's inside a quilt? Things that make it heavier. What we've done in the Christian life is we've done this. We've gone, "I want to make my quilt look really nice, so when people look at me, they go, what a nice quilt." But let's not have nice quilts. Let's have quilts that keep us warm. Because I'll tell you what, He's not really, really concerned about the outside. He's looking at the heart. Amen? Looking at the inside. Give me a couple of minutes. The practice of spiritual formation in Christ will lead to a certain number of things. These are a couple for you to take away. Oh, yes. The unveiling and the unraveling of the mysteries of the kingdom. You know, in the Bible it says this,
There are things that have been hidden from every generation except for the generation before the Lord's return, which most people believe that we're in. Those things have been hidden for you. There's treasure that hasn't been spoken out yet that you're going to receive. I think that's so good. I think it's wonderful. That are hidden from the common gaze. Oh. When that person shares with you, oh, listen, I've got this problem with my leg. Instead of your answer going, oh, well, I'm really sorry about that. I feel compassion for you. You say, do this right now, and bang, they're healed. Because you've been in a place, you've been formed in a place. If I go to 100, I didn't want to go here today, but I'll go here right now quickly. Psalm 139 says this, that you were made in the hidden places, in the places below the surface. You were formed perfect in your Father's image. Does that mean a child or a person who maybe looks like they have a physical disability, does that mean they're made in God's image? 100%. Because the Lord made you first as a spirit.
Amen.
And He formed you, and He made you who you are, uniquely created for His pleasure. You know what spiritual formation does for your life? It creates this incredible... Psalm 91 says this, that He saved Lee Marks because He delighted in him. Not because Lee could do anything for him, not because Lee was trying really hard, but He saved him because He delighted in him. Then it goes on and says something even better. It says this, He saved Karen because He delighted in her, and then He put her in a spacious place. He didn't confine her to a set of regulations and rules. He put her into a spacious place. That word spacious place can also be looked at as a hidden place. He put her into a place of mystery. Amen? And we go on from there. This is what happens when you look at spiritual formation. However it works for you, there's no one method of spiritual formation. There are principles we're going to be talking about for the next year. But there are things that I want you to hold on to. And these are the things. It releases such an inner stillness. Who wants an inner stillness? I'm not getting Buddhist on you, don't worry. I lived in a Buddhist monastery when I was 16 in Japan. Right? I know what Buddhism is. It's not the way to life. Is it a way to stillness? 100%. But it was stolen from Jesus. Because He's the author and the perfecter of all things. An inner stillness and peace that you experience through oneness with Christ. But no matter how big the waves are, no matter how strong the wind is, no matter how hot the sun is, and whatever else is happening in nature that I can't think of right now, but you would actually find a oneness with Him that you can go through all those things with such a peace and such a stillness that nothing can do this. I'll say it in an Aussie way. Nothing can rock your boat, mate. Nothing can rock your boat, mate. Nothing can rock your boat. And this is what the result of being spiritually formed, I believe, happens. Where you're caught up with Him and see where the lightnings and the thunders are made. You are someone, it says right now, that has access full time to the throne of God. If I read my Bible correctly, John the Apostle saw part of heaven. The book of Revelation is not the whole of heaven. He saw part of heaven, and in that part of heaven that he saw lightnings and flashes of light. He saw thunders and rolling. He saw waters that were like voices. This is what happens when we go into the place of spiritual formation that takes us into the stillness and the quiet of who we've been made to be in Christ. In a busy, 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 busy world that has demands after demands after demands, we have one thing for sure. If we do the one thing and seek His beautiful face first, all those things will be sorted out. All those things will be sorted out. Jesus said it way better than I can ever say it. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. He wasn't saying this. When Nathan and Rosie, when they seek God, and that everything's going to be added, like they're going to be four Ferraris, or sorry, I shouldn't say that. Nathan likes these beautiful cars that I like Land Rovers. They're four Land Rovers. Rosie's going to have an incredible studio where no one can annoy her for hours a day, okay?
Those things may happen to them, but that's not the added. What was he saying? This, I'm going to add my kingdom to you. What's his kingdom? Well, the Bible says it's joy, peace, and what? And righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Whoa. So I pray for you. I'm going to pray now. I pray for you that the Holy Spirit would take you on an incredible journey. Holy Spirit, take your sons and take your daughters into the place of spiritual formation. Take them into the place of going below the surface, where control is lost, where rushing stops, and where the noise of the inside, you rearrange so it becomes still and quiet. Where we actually get to learn who we have been created to be and who you are. I pray, Lord, that you break your kingdom out in beautiful and expansive ways. And Lord, we pray like the King David prayed, Lord, enlarge the tent of our heart so we can have more of your kingdom. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. All the saints said,
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Oh, we just thank you, Jesus. My closing thought for every one of us is this. And I want to say this with true humility, because when you preach something, you have to live it. It has to become part of you first. It can be part of you months ago or weeks ago or whatever, or I don't believe it comes days ago, but I want to say a couple of things to you, or to me as well. The ache. This is how he said it to me. The ache for significance leads to self-importance. And this happens through cramming our days with heaps of stuff. The drive for self-importance makes us busy, which breeds impatience, which leads to seeking after more and more control. I'll say that again. The ache for significance leads to self-importance, and this happens through cramming our days with busyness. The drive for self-importance makes us busy, which breeds impatience, which leads to seeking after more and more control. Father, I pray for us that we would be a people that continue to surrender, and in new ways surrender in our lives. We yearn for you to take us into your heart with no agenda, with no timeline. I pray, Lord, that you would rid us of the individual things that don't allow us to stop. And we thank you, Father, for being who you are. We thank you, Jesus, that you're enough right now, just as you are. But we can't add anything to you, Jesus. And in that, Lord, I ask that you would mature us into the people that we have been born to be. In your wonderful Son's name, amen.
I hope that's been helpful. I feel the Spirit of God saying a few things. I also want to give an opportunity for anyone else who feels the Spirit of God is saying a few things to anyone, to do that in your safe environment. The gifts of the Spirit are not a Holy Spirit trick show. They are a normal, consistent place, biblical place, where there is safety and security for people to share what God is saying. The Bible says to us to test all the works, to keep what is good and to throw away what is bad. And I would encourage you over the next few days, do that with your own life. The words that have been spoken over you by anyone, whether they're a super prophet or whether they're a person next door to you, pray the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the words that are His. And the words that aren't, pray this prayer. Lord, disintegrate them.
Hallelujah.
I had a lady come to me once and she saw me preach to this. I said, the Lord says to you that you are going to be the greatest prophet on the earth. I said, I'm not Jesus. Well, this right. I don't believe that was a word from the Lord. Because that word was to build my flesh up, not to build my spirit. And so be careful, but also it says do not treat any gifts with contempt. Don't go, how can that person speak to me? Right? Because the Spirit of God moves through all people. And we know as a kingdom family that we all operate together. It's not one or two. We all operate together. Amen? I haven't mentioned before, the Lord would say three things to you. The first thing is this, is that he has called you as a prophetic voice of intercession. There is a prayer of intercession call in your life where you are to speak the things of heaven into the earth. And you are especially supposed to speak these things over nations. Some people are called to regions, towns and cities, but you are called to prophesy and speak things over nations. The Lord says the second thing is, you are going to see the answers to your prayers in the media. There's going to be unusual things happen. You'll be like, well, that's strange. And someone's going to send you an article, and it's going to be the exact wording of the prayers that you pray. The third thing the Lord says this, is that he wants you to know that he is your home.
Thank you,
Jesus. He is your home. This is the kingdom family you're welcome, but he is your home. And there's been something happening over the last few years, and the Lord is drawing you back to the heart of a John 3 revelation that there are many mansions in the Father's house. There are many mansions for you in the Father's house. And so we bless you today with the knowledge that you are so secure in Christ, and you have been called to prophesy and intercede for the nations. Let's pray for you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for our sister. We thank you for her family. We thank you for these beautiful kids that she's got with her today, Lord, and we bless her. Take her, Lord, into realms unseen and places unknown in you. And we just thank you, Father, for the power of your Spirit that flows into her and flows from her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
If anyone else has something to say, a prophetic word or encouragement, come up the front. I've just got a couple of things and then you can say that. So please feel free to. Amen. Bless you. I saw you at the cafe the other day, but I didn't want to say anything in front of your friends.
Yeah.
But the Lord will just remind you, and there's two specific things today. You are not, and you never will be, a product of what your past is at all. And where you weren't nourished and loved in the past, the Lord says right now that his arms are open and the Father's embrace is for you. And he wants you. And he needs you. You're his daughter. The second thing is this. You have a really sharp gift of discernment. Discernment means this. To be able to discern what's good and what's evil. And the Lord's going to start to increase that gift. You're going to be somewhere, and I pray that you would actually open up your senses. Your smell, your sight, your hearing, and you'd be able to go, well, that doesn't sound real right. It's like you can walk into a room or a party, and you're like, well, that's a bit strange over there. That's called discernment. God's given you a massive dose of that. The Bible says this, that if you ask for more of it, he'll give it to you. There's also dreams you've been having, and you need you to start writing your dreams down, because he has a particular language he's going to speak to you about in the night, and he's going to say particular things to you about your life, but to other people. If you're going to actually dream about strangers, you don't say, it's not a weird thing. It's all right. And you're going to actually see them in the street, and you're going to have a message from God for them. And you know what? It's going to be astounding, not only to you, but to that person.
Amen.
We pray for you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your daughter. We thank you for who you crafted. You handcrafted her. And no matter what's happened, we decree today she's a daughter, that she's loved, and that she is who you have called her to be. And she's going to grow into more and more of that. So we bless her today. We just release a shower of blessing over her, and we just thank you for her life now, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This word is like for married couples, and it's just about letting the diversity of who you are be the unity of who you are. So don't let the little things of division be coming against the marriage. Let the fire, the embers of the coal, let the Holy Spirit blow on them. Don't need to do anything other than seek the inner journey that's an anointing. Nothing you do except to say, yes, Lord, burn the fires, the embers of our marriage before you. And sit with that. Just let the Lord do it in the rest. Okay, it's like a miracle. So just take it. Come back to that first love. Just remind you of your dance earlier. You know when you did the twinkle? You did this twinkle thing? I just want to say to the wives, that twinkle thing is the expression of your husband's heart to you. That we're not very good at expressing something like that. Okay.
We've got to sing and worship finish. We have lunch on, so feel free to stay and have lunch, gather around. There's no time on this, so if you don't feel like you want to stay in for worship, that'll be fine. Feel free to head outside if you want to stay in. We'll just go for the Spirit leads us. We'll have prayer. If you want prayer for something specific, please
struggled with that, with rushing and control and those things that I struggled with. All those things of not knowing the stillness and the peace. Then feel free to come forward. I'll do a prayer for you. If you don't like coming forward, that's totally fine. Just let someone know and pray for me where you are. Okay? God bless you. Have an awesome time in the next couple of weeks. Praise God. And worship the Lord.
I just want to share before as well. Adam's just preached one today that something I went through this week. In my 11 years working for the organisation I work for, I've only ever had one complaint made against me. And basically, the impending and all sorts of allegations were being made against me. And something that just weighed heavily on me, really stressing me out, not sleeping right. And I just knew that. There was one thing I needed to do. I just needed to get away from my colleagues, bless them, but I needed to get away from them, and I needed to just go have some stillness time with God. And I went to, if you don't know, in Goulburn, there's this memorial, memorial for the soldiers that died in World War I, and it's called Rocky Hilltop Road Memorial. And I've been there the day before and saw this beautiful sunrise. And so I went there because I knew that I could find peace, I can find the stillness in that. And it was so funny because as I'm going up there late one night, it's like 8 o'clock or whatever, and I'm walking up towards the memorial, I've driven up there and I parked the car and I'm walking up there, and I just heard these three young ladies over on one side. And the only thing I heard was she said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I forget the rest, but she said the Lord's Prayer. And I just stopped. I was like, okay. And it was funny because just before getting towards there, I was walking up and I'm like, Lord, I just need you in this. Because obviously this is something that's just, I need the release of this. This thing that's, you know, coming against me. And I just heard that, I was like, oh, thank you, God. And she said to her two friends, I think I got that right. A shout out, yeah, you did, 100%. And I said, you know, are you Christians? And she said, Catholic, not really preaching, or practicing, sorry, not really practicing. Okay. And I walked on, and then I was like, that was God. That was God talking to me.
Yeah.
That wasn't really an invitation for me to go and talk to them. That was just for me. That was God saying, I got you, you know, call on me, and I'm here for you. And the first thing it reminded me of was, I think it's Psalm 23, the one about, he lays you next to still waters and green pastures. And also it reminded me of the same psalm, or not, that whether I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Because he is my rod and my staff. You know, the staff is leading, pulling me along to the right track, and the rod is, who dares come against my son? Who dares come against me? Come on. You know, if the wolves want to come, they're going to get cut. And that's what the shepherd does. He looks up. So yeah, I just want to share with you that in those really stressful times, as Adam said, the tree back wherever you can go. If you can go out in the bush, great, because there's no interference, there's nothing to take away your focus, it's just 100% on God. And in that time, it's just sort of lifted. The thing of the bench press, it's just all lifted. It's just all lifted off you. Just want to read that.